another phrase there. I picked John 4 for our reading. I almost picked John 16 for our reading. But I'll get to that shortly. But Psalm 23. I have been blessed by Psalm 23, and I've been blessed again by looking a little bit more at this particular phrase here. So in verse 1, it said, "The Lord is my shepherd." We said, or I said, "He was our great shepherd. He is our chief shepherd, and he is our good shepherd." From verse 2, I mentioned that we have rest. What it says, "He maketh me to lie down." And so we lie down and we get rest. We have rest of faith. There is the rest of heaven as well. There is salvation's rest. And when the shepherd does so, you know, what he's supposed to do, then we can rest. What does the shepherd do? Well, he deals with our fears. He deals with our friction. And he gives us food. The rest we find from fear is not the absence of danger, but in the presence of the shepherd. And the cure for anxiety is not removing the things that cause the anxiety. The cure for anxiety is to get into the presence of the shepherd a little bit more and a little bit more. That's the key. Now I want you to notice verse 2 again, the last phrase. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Isn't that a wonderful thought? What's it say there? It says, "He leadeth me." Look at verse two, the next verse, verse 3. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." You know what he does? He leads us. Now the emphasis, "he leadeth me," could be on the "he" or the "leadeth" or "me." But the emphasis in this psalm is always on who? The shepherd. It's always on the shepherd, and he leads me. Well, the next question, or the first question, I guess, that I'm going to ask is kind of, if you think it through, it's pretty obvious. If the sheep are to be led by the shepherd, what must the sheep do? Follow. They must submit. They must yield. They've got to follow the shepherd. Now, this really is the submission of the sheep to the shepherd. If we are to be led by the shepherd, we've got to follow the shepherd. We've got to submit to the shepherd. If the shepherd starts leading the sheep and he's headed for that green pasture over there, and that one sheep back there, however many's back there, 100, and he decides to go that way, well, he's not going to submit and do that. He's not going to be led by the shepherd. Look, I want you to take your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58. We are to be led by the shepherd, then we have got to submit to the shepherd. And listen, God has established the principle of authority and submission throughout his Bible. I mean, that's very clear all through the Bible. Isaiah 58 and verse 11 says this, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually." He leads me. "And satisfy thy soul in the drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." That's quite a verse. I want my life to be like that. I want my life to be like a well-watered garden, just flourishing. Our lives actually can be like that. But first of all, we must allow the Lord to guide us. Isaiah said, "The Lord shall guide thee." And the psalm said it like this, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." So he leads us and he guides us. Now you can go ahead and turn to John chapter 16. When the Lord Jesus was about to leave his disciples, and he wanted to comfort them, he begins to teach them some things about the Holy Spirit of God. And so notice what he said in verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." The word expedient means it is in your best interest that I go. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I would have been one of the disciples that had followed the Lord for nearly 3 years of my life now, and he came up and said, "You know what? It's expedient for you that I go. It's in your best interest that I go," I'm going to tell you, I would have thought, I don't see that. That's would have been my first thought. I would have said, I don't see how this is a good thing. How could it be in their best interest for Christ to leave them? Well, in this sense, he actually wasn't leaving them. What he was going to do is he was going to continue with them in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, he said before he ascended up into heaven, remember what he said? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So he had promised that he would be with them. So the Holy Spirit's going to be with them. And the Holy Spirit is no less than God, just like the Father is no less than God and the Son is no less than God. The Holy Spirit is God. We do believe in the Holy Trinity, don't we? He lives in us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal, they are co-existent, and God is eternally existent in the three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we speak of the Father, we speak of God. And when we speak of the Son, we speak of God. And we speak of the Holy Spirit, we are also speaking of God. They're all God. By the way, the Jehovah Witnesses, I know you understand that they don't believe that Jesus is God. But they don't believe the Holy Spirit is God either. They believe that there is Jehovah God and that's it. The Son is not God. The Spirit is not God. He is a force, but he's not necessarily God. So Jesus says, it's in your best interest that I go away. And the Holy Spirit will come to indwell every believer. Now let's keep reading. Is it expedient for you that I go away? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Well, we know the Comforter is to who? The Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, and he begins to give the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And so Jesus is telling his apostles, I want to teach you more, but you're not quite ready to handle it yet. And let me say something. We don't know all that we know. And I don't think we know all that the Lord wants to show us that we can know. Growing is a daily process. Sometimes it's a moment-by-moment process. And as Christians, we grow day by day as we feed on God's Word and commune with Christ our Savior. Now, the children back there, they learn different things, a little bit lower than we do. But in life, you don't teach kids that are peewee age about cardiology. I mean, it just doesn't happen. But as we grow in the Lord, we begin to be able to understand more and more and more of the things of the Lord and understand how they apply to our lives. Now, he said, where was I? Let me look at verse 13 over there in John 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, remember what it said in Psalm 23? I lead it. He will lead us. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And verse 14 says this, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now there is, and I don't want to spend much time on this, but there are a group of people out there, the Charismatics and the Pentecostals sometimes, that major on the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't even major on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always majors on Jesus. Although we should never take the Holy Spirit for granted and never should we keep silent about him all the time. We are to be careful that we don't go overboard with the Holy Spirit like a lot of groups do. So he says, I want to teach you some things. You're not ready to handle them. But when the Spirit comes to live in you, he will constantly teach you what you need to know and help you as a believer because he will guide you. But if he's going to guide me, I've got to submit. I've got to yield. I've got to follow. Yield, we are to submit to his authority. And listen, God has given all authority to Jesus, right? We know that. Now, an awful lot of the problem in the world today is a lack of submission and a lack of ruling. When you read about the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about one, if he's going to rule the house of God, he must also rule his own house. But there is such a thing as pastor authority in the church, just like there is such a thing as a husband's authority within the home. I mean, that's God's design. And a lot of our problem today is there is a lack of submission and a lack of ruling. Go to a school. Some of you might remember Nancy and Kevin with Zygmunt before they moved up to Boonville. Well, I was out here in the foyer one day. Nancy comes walking in. They came to 8:30. And she walks up to me. She says, "Well, Pastor, I quit this week." I said, "I didn't know you were old enough to retire." She says, "Oh, I didn't retire." I said, "You just like quit." Kevin's standing behind her. "Oh, this has been a bad year for her." "Yeah, she just quit." And she said, she taught third grade. See, I guess that's not, we're not the only ones that have trouble with third grade teaching. But anyway, she taught third grade. And she says, "I can't take it anymore. These kids don't listen. They don't obey. And I'm done." And you know what? She was done. I also heard of another teacher recently. I knew someone that knew them well. She had 18 years in teaching in the public school system. She had 2 years to go to retirement. You know what she did? She quit. She didn't just leave the school. She left the state. She says, "I can't take Cuomo. I can't take the politics. I'm done." I would have thought, now I thought this, I could have handled it for 2 more years. I'd have hung in there for 2 more years. But she couldn't, she didn't want nothing to do with it. You know why? Because these kids, they're not going to submit to any authority. And some people who understand the principle of authority and submission, they struggle with that stuff. I mean, it can be tough. Even some of the bus kids we can bring in here from time to time, especially during Vacation Bible School Week, when the ones that, you know, the parents are looking for a good babysitter in the evenings, I mean, they come in and wow. Remember that one, Mel? Amy, you might, Faith? We picked up a girl on the bus one night, and her uncle was watching her. He said, "I'll see you guys in about 20 minutes. I said, "Oh, no, Vacation Bible School goes 2 hours, so it'll be after that." He goes, "Oh, no, you'll be back in 20 minutes. I'm like, "Why do you say that?" He says, "You won't be able to handle her." I said, "Well, we'll see. We got some pretty good people out there." "All right, I'll see you in a little while." So we brought her on the bus. She seemed to be fine on the bus. Of course, I got to be honest, I'm oblivious to anything that's going on behind me on the bus. When I'm driving the bus, I'm driving the bus. They could commit a homicide back there, and I just keep whistling, driving, wouldn't even notice it. Anyway, we get to church. He was right on. It was. You remember that? It was about 15 minutes. This girl was 5 or 6, right?
6.
6 years old, and we couldn't handle her. She wouldn't listen to anybody. She wouldn't do anything anybody told her to do. She was going all over the church, and the teachers are trying to, "This is your room here. I want to go see and take off away." We put her on the bus and took her back home. We're on the van and took her back home just about 20 minutes later. She wasn't going to submit to anybody. And the uncle knew that. I don't know what they were going to do about it, but the uncle knew that. But I'm going to say something. Happiness is a byproduct of obedience and submission to authority. In order for our shepherd to lead us, we must submit to his will. The shepherd knows more about our lives than we do. You know that's true? You say, "Oh, that can't be." Oh, it can be. And it is so. So we make disasters of our lives and we try to run our own lives, just ask some that have, and cause heartache to others by trying to run our own lives as well. So let me just say a few things. Time's getting away. What do we get from the shepherd? Well, let me go back to Psalm 23. And read it again. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." It says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." The first thing I notice is we get our supply from the shepherd. Life without water is impossible. And he supplies the water that we need. If the sheep don't get the water he needs, his body doesn't function the way his body is supposed to function. That's true for us, too. But the sheep, they don't know where to go get water. So the shepherd has to lead them to the still waters. By the way, it says still waters. It doesn't say raging waters. The sheep could fall into raging waters and be swept away downstream. So they're led to still waters. Now, water comes from 3 sources then. But that's not raging. Streams and springs you can drink freely of and get cool water of. They had a photo of me here up here the other day when I was in Israel. You saw me picking up water? That was in the hills where David drank of the water. And that's where that was taken. That's why Chris took that picture. But, nice, cool, fresh water. Streams and springs, deep wells. Now, where the shepherd was to draw water. Out of deep wells. Sometimes our shepherd has to work hard. to get the water to the sheep, because sometimes the sheep are kind of stubborn. It may look dark. It may look like a troubled place. It may look like a place where it seems no water can be found, but he knows that in the deep well, there is water to be found. The shepherd knows that. Sometimes you don't know that, but it's there. Another source is the dew. Now, sheep can go a long time without water if they get up early and get the dew off of the vegetation that the early morning dew brings, and you know that. Now, to get that, they need to get up before the sun comes and burns off the water. Now, what can we learn from this? It is the shepherd who leads us to our supply. In John 7, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Thirst is a gift of God. The sheep know their bodies need it because they get thirsty. Now, we have a physical thirst, and we quench it with a drink. But not all drinks quench your thirst. Actually, I like coffee. But did you know coffee actually dehydrates you? It doesn't actually give you water. It tastes good. In my opinion, it tastes good. Some of you may not agree. But in my opinion, it tastes good. But it really doesn't give you the water that you need. In our spiritual lives, God gives us a thirst. But we don't quench it sometimes with the right stuff. There are a lot of things in this world that won't satisfy. But what satisfy is the things of righteousness. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. I think it says, I know it's a beatitude one. Blessed are ye that blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Is that what it says? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know what quenches our thirst? Righteousness. What, that's what satisfy. Things that are righteous. Right behavior, right thinking, right attitudes. You thirst for it. You long for it. You desire it deeply. Righteousness. In John 4 that we read earlier is the story of the woman at the well. She had been married 5 times and presently living in adultery. Her life was a mess. She went to the well at noontime because she knew that the other woman would be gone and she didn't want to go there when other people were there. Jesus saw her thirsty soul. We read what it said in verses 7 through 26. But he began to tell her about this water and how if she would drink of the living water, she would never thirst again. That's true in our spiritual lives. After speaking about the Messiah, the water we need for life, for spiritual existence, come from believing and submitting to Christ. So our supply comes from him. Well, our best supply is the Word of God. Amen. That's where the water is to be found. Our satisfaction comes from the shepherd. To be satisfied, the sheep must drink the kind of stuff like we would drink the water, like we would drink spiritually. We must drink it. We must take it, drink it, believe it. We got to believe the Lord. For every clear, cool drink God has for us, let me tell you something. The devil can get something else and raise up something else to try to satisfy us. But in reality, only God can satisfy. Only God can supply what we really need. The Lord doesn't want us to drink of contaminated things of the world, but things in heaven. When we had, I don't know why this is, but our cows would go out in the pasture, and they could have wandered all over, but they always seemed to have a path they followed. I mean, you could just go out there and get right on the path and follow the path. Well, among other things, where their foot stopped, the water would fill in right there. But not only would water be in there, you know, they'd go to the bathroom and it would be in there. How would you like to drink of that contaminated water? That's not what you want to drink of. The world offers you contaminated things. That's a gross illustration. But the world offers you contaminated things that you can drink of. And you need to be very careful of the things of the world. The Lord doesn't want you to drink of the things that will go Jeremiah 2, the things of the world that contaminate us. Verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. He was easy on them that day. He only said two. What'd they do? They have forsaken me, the fountains of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Spiritually speaking, that's what we do. God has two things against his people. Jesus is the fountain of living water, and people are always trying to make cisterns to hold water. It's not fresh. It's not a stream of a well. It's a cistern in the ground, and it could be contaminated. It could be broken. It might not even hold anything. But the Lord doesn't want us to drink contaminated water that's been polluted by the world. He wants us to be satisfied with the clear, cool drinks that he gives us from heaven. Now, broken cisterns, quite frankly, can't hold anything. You can try to put water in one, but it's not going to work. Now, why don't we function as we ought as Christians? Because we're not drinking enough water from the shepherd. And sometimes we're drinking too much contaminated or too much polluted water from the world. I mean, that's kind of simple enough. But the Bible says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Let me close with the question. Do you believe that God can lead you? I do. Do you think that God will lead you? If you're saved and the Holy Spirit of God lives inside you, would he lead you? Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't God desire to lead me and to guide me, or lead you and to guide you? Why wouldn't he want to? Of course he does. But here's the problem. The problem is never the Lord. The problem is always me. I don't want to yield. I don't want to submit. I don't want to drink of the water that he supplies. I want to drink polluted water, contaminated water. We've got to drink of the living water. Father, I pray that we'd get these precious truths in our hearts and in our souls, and what this wonderful psalm teaches us. He leads us beside the still waters. You guide us, and you sent your Spirit to guide us. And I pray that we would learn to submit, yield, surrender, drink from the living water, and let you satisfy our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.